B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb,
bomb, bomb. Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Ram-a-lam-a ding dong, rock and roll is king.
This might sound kind of silly, but being in the medical field that I was as a paramedic, it started to make a lot of sense. One of the things that was pointed out in this interview with one of the doctors, foremost doctors that has studied the coronavirus, says that the nasal passages and the nasal membranes are the coolest part of the body. That's why the virus tends to go there until it then becomes healthy enough to go into the lungs. This sounds really goofy, and it did to me too, but it works. Once the temperature reaches 136 degrees Fahrenheit, the virus falls apart and just disintegrates, okay? And I said, well, how would you get the temperature up to 132 degrees? The answer was you use a blow dryer because it's capable of doing that. So you hold a blow dryer in front of your face and you inhale with your nose, and it kills all the viruses in your nose.
Okay.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. John Wallach is in the Town Fair Tire Studios because he's non-essential. 617-779-0985. As we continued, Rich and I, to broadcast from home yesterday, in a showing the desperation that the country's in, I took a hike. I went outside and took a hike with my family. Not something.
Was it a hike or
ever...
a stroll? There's a difference. A stroll there, or
was,
a hike?
It was in the woods.
Okay, then that would kind of be a hike. I think that's what qualifies it. Yep.
So there, it was a hike.
Mm-hmm.
Not something I want to do, but in the name of boredom and having to get outside, I took a hike.
Mm-hmm.
Right out there. Walking around.
We're all doing weird stuff. I've been biking more than I have, so much to the point where I almost ordered a butt pad.
Well, I got up yesterday, not last night, but the night before at 3:30, and I got on the Peloton bike in an effort to go back to sleep. Oh. I did a half an hour on the Peloton.
Now, are they still doing the live classes that you order, you know, like where they yell at you and stuff?
Well, there's classes that are on there. I mean, I guess you can do live ones, but there's consistently, you know, hundreds of classes.
So I thought that the whole thing about the Peloton was that it was, like, all live. Like, you would jump on, and there was somebody when you got on, and they would say, like, all right, Fred Newton, let's get – oh, I like those numbers. And they would basically – I thought that was kind of the selling point. It was, like, a personalized type thing.
I guess that there are reservations for things of that nature, but
– okay.
But at 3:30 in the morning, no, I took and then you can pick the music and the length of time. And I did that half an hour of alternative music.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman was very knowledgeable of the music. She gave you very many facts about the various bands that she was playing. I had not heard of most of them. And, you know, I heard who their influences were and things of that nature.
Now, when they say alternative, are we talking like 7 Mary 3? Like real alternative? A little Eve 6?
They're bands I've never heard of. So okay, I guess it's actually alternative. No.
Okay.
They didn't play Eve 6. If you do the rock one,
mm-hmm.
Then you're truly dealing with some garbage.
You're getting some Hinder in there?
No, you're getting an ROCK. In the USA, you're getting I Love Rock and Roll.
Hey, that's the rock one. Is you're getting John Cougar Mellencamp?
Yeah, you're getting ROCK in the USA. You're getting and then
just
the woman
it has the word rock in it. Doesn't mean that you'd be in the rock thing.
And then the woman is saying, you know, I love rock and roll. She goes, no matter how many times. Oh, and then Living on a Prayer was also played. And she goes, I don't know how many times I've been drunk and said and yelled this. We all have. And she goes, well, no, I know some of you don't drink. So there was that. But you're pedaling there. And then I still couldn't go back to sleep. So I watched two episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm. And then I had to take a sleeping pill at 5 in the morning to go back to sleep. And then that ruined the whole day until I went on my big hike, which I went on my hike over there with the in the woods of Newton. I went on my hike. It was a very exciting time. It was something I never intended to do. I took great pride in never having done it. But there you were. There I was. I was hiking around as people wore masks and it's a very bizarre time.
It's like 9 p.m. now, a curfew starting today, according to Marty Walsh. Marty Walsh came out there yesterday and it was kind of his throwing down the gauntlet speech. This was the, I think if one of the first things he said is, I'm not one to come out here and try to scare you. And he goes, but we are in uncharted territory. And he said, all the parks essentially shutting down any place where there's can be any kind of group gathering. There's going to be a curfew now. I think it's from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. for any kind of non-essential employees who are out and about. Also on top of that, there was another announcement that he had as well too. There were a couple different things that he also said that everyone should wear a mask outside their home now. Like that it's suggested that you do that now.
How do you get a mask?
Yeah, you got to find them online. You're right. I mean, it's like it's one or you make them yourself.
Yeah,
you know,
What am I going to make a mask? I don't know how to make a mask.
You just get get your old scarf and put it around your face.
Can wear a cool bandana like I did to work today.
You never
have a bandana?
I did. I look like a bank robber coming in today.
No. You own a bandana?
I do. I do own a bandana.
What part of your life did you buy a bandana?
We got it at Boston College during one of their football games. For some reason, they were giving them out. I don't know.
You wore it to work?
What's that?
You wore it to work?
I just wore it in the car on the way to work. Took
what
it off when I got
the
bar. What
the hell's going to happen to you in car?
I don't know, Fred. It's during the curfew hours. Actually, no, Rich is right. That actually starts today. It didn't start last night. So
what do you put the one place you're not going to get sick is the car.
I'm just telling you, Fred. I didn't take any chances. Some overactive cop pulls me over. I don't want to do it.
They're not going to arrest you for not having a bandana on. But wait a second. Is this... Did you wear the bandana because you thought it would be helpful, or did you wear the bandana because you thought you looked cool?
Well, I don't think there's any way I can possibly look cool, Fred. I think we've gone over that.
Humility.
I just don't feel the coolness oozing out of me. No, I wore it because I thought it would help. That's all.
In your car?
Yeah. On the way, that 50-foot walk from the car to the building. You never know what you can catch.
There's going to be invisible.
Yeah.
Invisible.
It's all airborne, Fred. Haven't you heard? It's airborne.
No, I haven't read anything about it. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But you weren't wearing it while you were driving, right?
Yes, I was.
Oh, you see, you don't need to do that.
No, and looking back at it now, you're probably right.
You're probably right. From your car, whatever. Yeah, but once you're in your car, dude, you don't have to wear.
Yeah, I know.
You can take it off.
I know. This whole thing's got me a little off.
Yeah, I got nothing I can wear over my face. I got nothing. I told you I ordered those face masks. 2 weeks ago, they're not coming until next month, and then by next month, people will be back at work. I can't wear it there. But I don't know. I'd have nothing to put over my face.
You're right, John. I have like bandanas, and I don't know where we got them. Like it's one of those things. Like just our house has a couple of bandanas.
We had four of them. They're all red, and I'm like, where do we get these?
I couldn't tell you where we got them. But we have. They're probably from like our dog. Like when we picked them up from getting groomed, they always put a bandana.
That's
on. Your dog always looks better if they have a bandana. Like I don't know where we got them, but we have a few.
Why is that? Why do they put bandanas on dogs?
Because dogs look awesome. awesome with bandanas. Oh. They look better than ones without bandanas. Okay.
The fluff wore an ascot for the longest time.
It's true, though. Every time you send a dog out to be groomed, they come home with a bandana.
It's weird.
And
you're like, fluff, whoa, he looks great. And it could, be, it could be the same dog. They might not have washed him, but they put a bandana on him, so you're just mentally tricked into thinking that your dog looks amazing.
Well, the fluff has holiday ascots. And then ascots for the summer. So my cat is always dressed to impress. But no, I don't have anything to put over my face except for my wife has winter scarves, but I'm not putting them on my – I mean, then I'll suffocate.
So, our listener says, you know who ain't got to worry is Steven Tyler. My man's got scarves for days. He can just continue to put those over his mouth.
He's got them all over the mic stand. And he saw he was ahead of the game. He saw what was going to have to happen. So my sleep schedule is completely off. I went for an effing hike. Everything. I don't have a handkerchief to put over my face or a bandana.
Anyone hit the grocery store this weekend? Dan, you, anybody? Anybody?
I did not. No, I hunkered down. I don't think I saw many humans this weekend. And they said that this may not be the best time to want to go to the grocery store.
Well, tied a bunch of the basketball nets up.
Well, yeah, they're closed.
Some cities have taken them down, Fred. They've literally come and taken the poles away.
But there were people playing tennis.
Well, you're not supposed to be. As a matter of fact, if Marty Walsh announced the closing of like basketball, tennis, street hockey courts, any of those. Like they're all closed.
Why can't you play tennis?
Because they don't want to encourage group gatherings of people. That's why.
But it's just two people playing tennis.
Well, no, because two people, there's more people waiting for the court. If they know that there's tennis, people are going to go there to play it in groups. So there might be two people at one time playing it, but there's going to be a bunch of people going down there knowing that they can play tennis.
So you're saying that there's going to be a sect of 30 or some odd people waiting to play tennis?
There have been. That's the reason they're closing down these parks. Well, you've seen it. There's group gatherings at all these parks. There's been a bunch of people playing basketball. Listen, if you're going to shut down the basketball courts, you got to shut down the tennis courts, too. I'm not saying there's a big collection of the tennis courts, but I mean, if you got to shut down one, you got to shut down them all. It's the same message. Don't come out here. Don't do it because we don't want to.
So, have you left the house this weekend?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I ride my bike a bunch. Like, that's the one way I get out of the house. I haven't driven in my car in almost 3 weeks. But I picked up groceries about 2 weeks ago. So, yeah. And I'll be doing that again today. So, it's been 2 weeks since I've driven my car. But, yeah, I ride my bike a bunch. That's how I get out.
Now, do you see other people when you ride your bike?
Not a lot. And, you know, I mean, I'll see some other people riding their bikes or, you know, walking kids in strollers.
Do you jump off the bike and run?
I go to the other side of the sidewalk. Sometimes I go into the street if they're on the sidewalk and I do it that way. Yeah. I try to stay within, even if I'm just riding my bike past them, I try to stay within at least 6 feet. I think everyone does that.
No. Not when you hike.
So you walked right next to people when you were hiking?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Social distancing, Fred.
Yeah.
Got to stay away from everyone. 6 feet.
For 2 seconds?
Yep.
Yeah. You can catch it in 2 seconds. That's what you're supposed to do. That's the whole thing. How many scientists have come on TV and said exactly that? Stay 6 feet away from other people. And especially when you're hiking, it's easy. You just move to the side, let them walk by.
No, not on a busy trail. No way. There's no room.
It's the woods. Go into the woods. Just move to the right.
No.
All right. Okay. Rich, I'm on your side on this one.
Of all the things, it's the easiest place to do it in the woods. You just move
two trees.
It's
a trail.
Over.
It's not the woods. It's a trail in the woods.
Seriously, you're out walking the dog. You see someone coming up the sidewalk. You move to the other side of the street.
The other side.
Yep. Go screw.
That's what the scientists are saying.
You are so paranoid.
That's not paranoid. That's reality right now.
No, you let boxes sit for 2 weeks.
Not 2 weeks. 2 days.
Oh, 2 days. I'm sorry.
So that part is true. That part is a little extreme. I agree with that.
It's only supposed to be one day. It's only supposed to be 24 hours. But if it's something, to be honest, we had something that I really needed, and I just waited one day.
Brandon, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, guys. Hey. Fred, do you remember Friday night going on Instagram Live?
Yes.
Okay. It was just hilarious because everyone was trying to ask you questions, and you were like, I can't see any questions coming through. And you just, people were wondering if you were on Ambien again. I knew that wasn't the case. You just had a few, but I was just curious.
I was desperate for human interaction. My wife was on it before me. Did you see my wife do it?
No, I caught like the last 2 minutes of it.
Yeah, my wife did it, and then I was, yeah, I was drunk, and I was desperate for human interaction. And I probably screwed that whole thing up. Yeah.
It was entertaining, so thank you. Now, Rich, I do have a question for you. You said you were going to go shopping today. I did go shopping over the weekend. I was full of anxiety while doing it. I had gloves on, no mask. And I had myself wondering, like, okay, when do I take the gloves off? Do I touch my wallet and my credit cards? Do I take the gloves off after I put them in my car? Do I take them off to put the stuff on the belt to get checked out? Like, I was just curious how you're approaching it.
So with the gloves, as long as you don't touch your face with the gloves, you're fine. I mean, you can touch as much coronavirus as you want with everything with the gloves. You can now, as far as the touching your wallet thing, that is an issue. Like, that's one of those things that after you've touched everything, because then whatever's on your glove is on your debit card, and you have to do it that way. Now, I washed off my debit card after I was done. Like, I got the Clorox wipes, and I did it that way, and I cleaned my wallet. Like, so anything that I brought home with me that I touched with my gloves, I wiped with a Clorox wipe. That's it. By the way, the parking lots at grocery stores are just riddled with rubber gloves and masks. Like, as soon as people get in their car, they're just leaving them in the parking lot, and it's disgusting walking in, seeing these piles of coronavirus covered plastic gloves all over the parking lot. And it sucks for the people who have to clean it up, but I mean, people are just being real dicks about leaving their stuff all over the place after they go shopping. So yes, I wipe off my debit card after I use it. Just
where
don't touch your face.
Where do you get rubber gloves?
Like, we had a stash just because of when Mary was immunocompromised. So we had, like, for like 4 years, we've had this box of rubber gloves. But you can order them now, but just like your masks, they're back ordered for, geez, like a month, I think. It's tough to get them anywhere. So order them now if you're gonna order them and sit and wait. But we had a box of like 100 of them that we've had for a long time.
Well, there you go. Everyone is taking hikes. All right. Rich, what do we have coming up?
Well, we had two nights of pure mania. Let's get to some of the highlights.
All right. We'll be right back in 2 minutes or something.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
No, Fred, come on, man. This is a family radio show.
No, it's not. Not really.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Boy, those are quick. All right, Rich, what's going on?
It was a two-night live audience-free extravaganza that started the only way that it possibly could have.
Welcome to WrestleMania. Many of you know me as Rob Gronkowski, three-time Super Bowl champion football player. But tonight, I'm here as Gronk, your WrestleMania host with the most. And it gives me great pleasure to welcome you the first ever night one of WrestleMania, because this year, WWE looked at everything we got planned and said, nope, this party's too big for just one night. We need two nights for this action-packed, title-stacked beast, and we need your boy, Gronk, to host it. And I promise you this, they picked the right man for the job, because I know how to start a party on a Saturday night and end it 30 hours later. So sit back, crack open a beverage, forget everything going on in the world right now, and let WWE entertain you for the next two incredible nights. But right now, I need my good friend, Mojo Rawley, to join me.
And yeah. With that, the takeout duck Mojo sauce from Kowloon started a flowing in the homes of Jay Stu, Sarge, Joe Murray, and the rest of the Kowloon crew as WrestleMania began its two-night extravaganza.
Bring him out. Bring out Mojo Rawley.
You know what's great is that I watched a lot of this online. There's a good bunch of clips. Even because it's all pre-taped. The whole thing was pre-taped. None of it was live. Even pre-taped, Gronk was messing up lines. Which makes you think, how many times did they do like a take and go, ah, screw it, just keep it. It's Gronk. I don't care. But I mean, one of two nights this was. In night one, you got to see the Raw Women's Championship where Shayna Baszler used Becky Lynch's head as a battering ram.
Shayna not allowing for any reprieve. And now Shayna tried this earlier.
No.
Oh, into the desk. And Shayna Baszler again. Bashing Becky Lynch off the announce desk.
Oh, well, that sounded like wrestling and nothing else.
That's not the same. Nope. Not at all.
Well, I know we're having him on later.
Oh, man.
But I saw Joe Murray's rundown of what happened with Sarge, that the two of them were on the air and with Sarge, and they were quite pleased. I think,
of course.
With what the women did.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And yesterday you knew that night two started with the bang when James Stewart tweeted, "Anytime I see the SmackDown fist, I'm in." Love that fist.
All in.
Well, listen.
Mojo Rawley.
Rawley. It's Mojo Rawley, Fred.
I call him Rawley. It makes me want to rally.
Well, the highlight of the evening had to be the Boneyard match between AJ Styles and The Undertaker. Because if things couldn't get any more macabre than a match in a boneyard, when all hope was lost, OC summoned a druid army to fight The Undertaker. Oh, yes, I watched it.
And what is a boneyard match? What is it?
It was in a boneyard. Okay. A match in a boneyard.
Okay.
It was
where
glorious.
All the cats. It was a pet cemetery.
All right.
Fred, at one point, The Undertaker is sitting there, and all of a sudden, all these, like, druids in these, like, hoods come out of the smoke. Now you gotta fight the druids, Taker. How about a taste of your own macabre medicine in the boneyard? Oh, it was the best. Let me just read the description of the match that I saw online, because I was doing research, and like, what the hell is this going on? I'm just gonna read you what they wrote. At one point, Styles had Taker in an open grave before Taker somehow materialized behind him. From that point, it was all Undertaker, and he brutalized Styles before throwing him off the barn roof. Styles attempted to apologize and begged Taker not to bury him. Taker said he wouldn't because of the fight that Styles had put up before kicking him into the grave and using a tractor to fill the grave, winning WWE's first boneyard match.
So this is outside, obviously.
Oh, well, it's in a boneyard. There's no indoor boneyards. I mean, come on, friend. Your knowledge of boneyards is surely lacking here.
I was unaware that there were boneyards.
I mean, listen, if at any point these wrestlers had the ability to summon an army of druids to help them, how come they haven't done that all along? Like, dude, that's kind of a useful power in a wrestling match. Like, 18 people all of a sudden show up to help you fight in hoods? Come on, man. Summon your druids if you got druids.
One day, my friend, one day. I shall do that.
Now that I think about it, I'm going to need audio of the post-WrestleMania emergency podcast that Jay Stu and Sarge did last night. Only the part of them talking about the Boneyard match.
Yeah, we should have that tomorrow, as we should do the explanation of the Boneyard match.
There's no question. But when you thought things couldn't get any more insane...
Oh, why didn't Mojo just leave the building? No way Mojo's going to survive now.
That's the rules of 24-7 title. It has to be defended anytime, anywhere. Even here at WrestleMania.
Wait a minute.
It is. It's Rob Gronkowski's up on the perch.
Don't do it,
Gronk. Oh, my God. Gronk took out everyone. Wait a minute. Gronk is covering Mojo.
Two, three.
Why Gronk is champion. The 24-7 champion.
Rob Gronkowski just pinned his best friend Mojo to win the
24-7
title.
I was just going to say, there was no delay there. The music was ready to go.
Okay, I saw that. That was the lamest thing in the entire world.
He jumps from this, like I don't know, perch and knocks out 11 people, and they'll go, whoa! And
yeah, exactly. They were like, do one thing. Like, you jump, and he's like, I'll jump. So, and then he jumps, and then he, yeah, that was incredibly lame. Yes.
I guess the worst match of the two nights was Goldberg versus some other fat guy, Braun Strowman or something like that. And so the best is that, like, Goldberg, it was impossible for him to adapt to the concept that there were no people. So he would, like, run and spear the other guy, and he'd stand up and, like, point at people in the crowd. I'm like, nobody's there. He would, like, do all this. Look at his hands. I'm like, you see, no one's there. This is really odd. And, of course, that was a thumbs down from Jace. Not nearly as macabre as he likes his wrestling.
Say mercy.
I'll say mercy, especially.
All right, tomorrow we got to play inside the ring or whatever it's called.
Inside the ropes.
Inside the ropes.
Either way, it was two enormous nights filled with heroes, foes, and fiends.
Oh, that's right. Fiend against Cena, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Fiend defeated Cena, and it was so macabre.
Now, is the Boneyard, is there a lot of smoke?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
kind of a boneyard without smoke?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Listen, maybe a graveyard is a graveyard without smoke, but there's no such thing as a boneyard without smoke.
So, right. So these guys are out there, and so this is a pre-tape thing. That was all pre-taped, you said.
Oh, it's like a movie. It's like, okay. I mean, the production value is so amazingly cheesy. I imagine like high level adult films probably has the same production value of what WrestleMania had for the Boneyard. It's awesome. Do yourself a favor, just a matter of fact, I'll send you the clip. I have the clip. The Rise of the Druids might be one of the funnier things that you'll watch.
Now, how many druids are there?
There's a plethora of druids, of evil druids. And what's great is that the Undertaker looks around like he can't believe what's happening. Like, finally, his wits have been matched in all things like the devilish and fiendish. He's like, what is happening here? And of course, listen, the Undertaker. The Undertaker was about to be buried alive, and then all of a sudden he materialized behind AJ Styles and kicks him in the grave. How he did it? Black
Wait,
magic.
Okay, so he gets invisible?
Yeah, he's in the grave, and AJ Styles is about to start, like, putting dirt on his head because it is a boneyard. And then all of a sudden, he disappears and materializes behind AJ Styles. And to that, I can just imagine Sarge spitting duck sauce all over his television. Yeah. And then AJ Styles kicks him into the grave. Or what's his name? Undertaker kicks him, AJ Styles, into the grave. And then all of a sudden, there happens to be a tractor that is just hanging around the boneyard, because what's a boneyard without a tractor? And then they, of course, start putting dirt on him, and that's the end of the Boneyard match. Okay. And someone dies.
Okay, so now we are to know that the Undertaker has magical powers.
Of course.
That he can become invisible.
He can teleport.
Well, AJ Styles apparently, hooked up with OC, and OC was the one who summoned the druids. So, I mean, it's like dark magic versus dark magic here. What are you going to do? Whose is more evil? That's all I want to know.
Is OC wearing makeup and everything?
No, he's like a hunky teen idol from the show OC. He's based on a character on one of those people from the old WB show.
Well, then why is he so in touch with the black arts?
Because he's going through a goth period, all right? He bought the new Marilyn Manson album, and all of a sudden he's...
I can't believe that this is going on.
So he just said Boneyard requirements. A, bones, B, yards, and C, smoke. Get with it, Fred.
Well, I assumed it was very, like, creepily done, that there was smoke.
You would assume correct.
And now, did the druids have had... have like things on, like hoods
you
on their heads.
You could not see their faces. The hoods were over their face. They were like grown Jawas coming to attack. It's the
this is what people paid for.
Oh yeah, like I mean, like, dude, those guys watched it all, and apparently that like was the highest rated fight of the night. Like the Boneyard match, that was it. Like who would have ever expected the Taker to materialize behind AJ Styles and kick him into the grave? They're like tractor time.
Grown Jawas, is that what they are?
Yes, they're druids. Like you don't know what a druid is. You've rolled the bones before.
So the idea is then at that point the tractor comes in and buries the man alive.
Yeah, and then he's dead and everyone cheers.
Okay, so he's dead. He didn't, like, a hand didn't come up or anything?
Me thinks you're going to find out on Monday Night Raw he didn't die.
Okay, all right. Because that would be funny if he was like, he's dead.
Right, he's just like, he died. They like, killed him on TV.
That's it. See you later. Get packing.
And then Gronk comes out and, like, you know, twerks on top of the grave.
Yeah, that Gronk thing was the lamest thing. He takes out 11 people. Yeah. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
All right, let's get to some news about all the leagues. Met with Donald Trump this week, and we got a little bit of an indication of what at least he thinks is going to be the time that sports will return.
That's right. It's very important. Glad he's on that. All right, here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, as the world is trying to figure out when they're going to be able to get their sports back, on Saturday, President Trump met with the heads of almost all the major American sports leagues. Roger Goodell of the NFL, Adam Silver, NBA, Rob Manfred, baseball, Gary Bettman, NHL, Vince McMahon of the WWE, and inventor of the Super Macabre Boneyard Match, and more. So in this conference call with all these major sports commissioners on Saturday, Trump said that he believes that the NFL season should start on time in September. He also said that he hopes to have fans back in stadiums and arenas by August and September, although it is unclear if medical experts find that to be a realistic timeline amid what's going on right now. Trump also declined to give an exact date when reporters asked when he anticipates fans returning to arenas. He said, "No, I can't tell you a date, but I think it's going to be sooner rather than later." So California Governor Newsom, he was asked whether he believed that the NFL season would open in August or September with 80,000 fans, and his answer was, "I'm not anticipating that happening in our state." He continued saying, "Look, I'm not here to second-guess anybody, but I am here to say this. Our decision on that basis, at least here in the state of California, will be determined by the facts, will be determined by the health experts, will be determined by our capacity to meet this moment, bend the curve, and have an appropriate community surveillance and testing to confidently determine whether that's appropriate. And right now, I'm just focused on the immediate, but that's not something I anticipate happening in the next few months." And then Andrew Cuomo from New York, he doubled down saying, quote, "I'd love to see sports back to help with the cabin fever, but this is not about hopes and dreams and aspirations and what you'd like to see." So
yeah, here's my theory: is that people are going to have to start getting back to work next month. Is that economy is going to tank and it's going to be just an unmitigated disaster. However, I do believe that mass gatherings could be out the window for the rest of the year. Because those are unnecessary. I used to think that they, you know, when they were saying they were putting the college football season on hold, that was ridiculous. But now I'm thinking that in order to get the economy going, in order to get people back to work, it's not worth having mass gatherings. It's not worth having a concert. It's not worth having a football game. It's not worth those things. So anything to get the economy going, they can't jeopardize that by taking a chance and letting people get sick in massive groups.
But we have a guy who writes for The Athletic coming on with us in the 8 o'clock hour, and he's talked with a bunch of people from these leagues who run it and also did some research on what other countries have been doing. And he's got a window as to what the upcoming future of live sports will look like as far as being a spectator, what kind of changes are going to be made in arenas, how they're going to screen you when you come in and out. And it's fascinating because at least for the upcoming, I would say probably at least a year, everything's going to look different than it used to be. And to be quite honest, some of the improvements that they're talking about making are good improvements. And some of them are just going to be weird. And some of them are going to make your live sports viewing experience a little stranger. But in the meanwhile, those are the things that are going to have to be done, at least for the immediate future. Now, as far as the NBA, they're really trying anything to keep the league going in some way, shape, or form, such as the NBA 2K tournament this past Friday, which I got to be honest, I didn't watch one second of Wallach. I know you did because I saw you went to it.
My kids want to watch this thing. I lasted 30 seconds. My kids were like, "Dad." The worst part of my weekend is one of my kids came up to me and said, "Dad, could you tape the NBA 2K after I go to bed?" I'm like, oh, God. And so he got up the next morning and watched it.
Tell me how it worked, because I've only seen a clip or two on SportsCenter where their heads are in the corners. Like, how did
was
that work?
Was it a boneyard match?
No. I think it would be more interesting if we had a boneyard match. But
were there druids?
That's right. Kevin Durant just summoned the druids on one end of the floor.
I posted the video of the emergence of the druids, Fred. Next commercial break, you need to watch it.
Okay, I will definitely watch that.
Okay, so how did it go, John?
All right, so you have each guy sitting in his living room, you know, on Skype, and they both have the headsets on, and they're trash-talking each other, and they're each in upper left and upper right corners, and then you have the game below them in the center, and that's all there is. And you have, I guess, Kevin Harlan does the play-by-play for the video game, so you have Harlan, pre-taped, you know, down low to Durant, scores off the window, you know, something like that. And that's what the game is, and you watch it.
Who won?
Six-game course. I think Durant lost. That's what Durant lost. You would have appreciated this, Fred. My kid was watching Montrezl Harrell win over Domantas Sabonis, and you hate Harrell, right? You can't stand him?
Yeah, I couldn't stand Harrell in college.
Apparently, Harrell is like a great trash talker. And the few moments I saw, he was giving it to Sabonis, who apparently picked his own team and got run over. Sabonis picked Indiana and did not do well.
Well, yeah, since
Harrell
just
threw fits on the court. Where did he go? Maryland?
I think that's
Louisville or Maryland.
And
he just threw fits the entire time that he was on the floor.
Yep.
Well, since that was such a hit, the NBA now has another idea up their sleeves. Televised horse. Yep, horse. And this is going to happen. The NBA and ESPN are already working on making this televised horse competition happen, including several high-profile players being involved, reportedly. Now, the game would be done at home, in isolation, presumably using home gyms. And that would include them competing shot for shot, just like at the playground, except not.
Yeah, just like I've done with my kids 85,000 times over the course of the last 3 weeks. Just real. That's exactly what I want to watch on television. They might as well just have my son watching Doogie Howser on television.
Well, details including a schedule and specific player involvement are all still being finalized. Paul Pierce simply replied on Twitter, "I'm in." I think Paul Pierce is just bored. He wanted to do the big three quarantine tournament thing. Now he wants it on. He wants it on anything. Please keep me on TV. But in the meantime, the NBA is continuing to prepare for a possible postseason in Las Vegas. It's funny, out of all the leagues, the NBA seems to be the one that has a plan the most. Now, they realize that this could all fall apart, considering, you know, they realize that it's the virus that makes the timeline, but they want to be ready, so I'll at least give them that much. So according to Chris Mannix, he said, quote, "Quarantining in one location is the only solution, and Vegas is the only city the NBA is currently giving any kind of serious consideration. But even that faces enormous hurdles.
Thousands of players and staffers would descend upon Las Vegas for an event like this. Thousands of support staff at hotels and arenas would be needed to make it work, not to mention broadcasters and media. Testing would have to advance significantly in the upcoming months. Rapid tests, like the one that's being produced now by Abbott Laboratories, would have to be widely available. That's the one where you get like an answer back in like 14 minutes. And, right. And an event that could be squeezed into a few weeks would require tens of thousands of tests. And then he makes probably the best point of all. He said the NBA has a social responsibility here, too. There is public outrage already at how asymptomatic NBA players have received coronavirus tests while everyday patients with symptoms can't get them. He said at this point, tests will need to be as cheap and readily available as thermometers for the league to justify using them to conduct the postseason. And they said also the spread of COVID-19 would have to dip significantly in the coming months or the NBA will be accused of prioritizing profits over safety. He's exactly right.
So he's right about the testing. That's for sure.
So, I mean, you have to, when this would happen, which is probably more than likely July, at that point, for them to not look like complete a-holes for like monopolizing these tests, it would have to be like it is in some of the other countries where truly anyone who wants a test can get a test for nothing. Yeah. And then it would just make them look bad if it was otherwise. But at least they've got a plan. And I like that. There's a decent thing, like groundwork being made, that they're ready to go as soon as they feel that this is something that they'll be able to do. They can talk to the players about it. They can chart everything out. Who knows if it'll happen, but at least it's something at this point.
Yeah. I mean, it's the least of my concerns, but yeah, I mean...
And he even said that in the article. He's like, this is such, like, so far down on the list right now. But he goes, you know, that's their business, so it's good that they actually have a plan.
Well, I mean, every business should have a plan. I mean, I find this whole thing completely frightening that you could get 35% unemployment. So I would – the least of my concerns is sports at this point. But if they can do it, then they should do it. I mean, might as well. I'm not. Do you think it cheapens it at all that it's, all in one place, neutral site?
I almost don't care. Yeah. You know, it's like if they're able to do it, it's going to be so welcome for it to watch it, and it's going to be weird. But I mean, are you going to say that this championship didn't mean as much as the others?
It's more about getting the games in and having them actually take place than anything else. At this,
it's almost under tougher circumstances. You know what I mean? Like with everything that's going on and everyone's heads in a different place. I mean, I wouldn't minimize the championship if somebody won it. If there were indeed four rounds to win it, you know, even if it was shortened rounds, I think that it still matters, and I wouldn't put an asterisk next to it.
No, I wouldn't. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about, so you would be very interested in it.
Like, oh, no question. A real playoff? Like, I mean, like the league, like the NBA playoffs? No question. Like, this isn't any kind of exhibition. It's not horse. This is for the championship. Totally I would be into it.
Okay. Well, I would hope by June that with that amount of people and not allowing crowds in, that they would have the testing to allow people to, that amount of people to congregate in one area to do business. But we shall see. It would be a nice litmus to what's going on.
Put it this way. If they don't have these tests ready in 2 months, we're all screwed. I mean, that 2 months... You know, I mean, at that point, it would be almost 6 months since they've been aware of having to get these tests ready. And other countries have gotten their stuff together. I think they will. I think they will by that point.
I agree. I mean, I think they have to. I mean, they absolutely have to. This is priority one. You can't have all these people losing their jobs. You can't do it. I mean, you got to get it together in some way, shape, or form. All right, Rich, someone who did something nice is Mr. Jonathan Kraft, and we will talk to him about everything that went on in terms of they went to China and procured many, many, many masks. They did a boneyard match while they were there. But they
Druids were summoned, though, so it was really a half-assed boneyard match.
Yeah, there was just smoke and The Undertaker. But they got a lot of masks for people, and it was a good thing that they did. So we'll talk to Jonathan Kraft in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rip.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.